Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and blind that are quite something able. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
We're on second boat, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly question.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! Hee! King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Something happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
I had planned another closing message, but I feel compelled to say what I'm about to say. Now, I risk sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but it's no longer a theory. What I'm about to say is fact. The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government.
Executive order signed by President Obama has sparked controversy on both sides of the political aisle. The National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order was signed quietly Friday night. It gives the president the power to control U.S. resources.
The Rules Committee is going to meet in the House. They are going to come up with a rule that makes it okay for them to do a same-day bill. So they'll pass this rule. It's, believe it or not, called martial law.
This would give the president of the United States the authority to declare basically martial law during times of peace.
There are new disturbing developments out of Washington tonight regarding the president's belief that he has the legal authority to assassinate U.S. citizens. Incredibly enough, it appears that our commander-in-chief actually believes that authority exists not only on foreign soil, but right here on American soil as well.
But Senators McCain and Levin have added this legislation, which would authorize the president to declare the entire United States of America, all 50 states and all territories, to be a battlefield, right, even though there's no battle, thanks be to God, going on here.
War on terror is different.
And that would authorize him to use commander-in-chief authority in the United States, to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
Particularly to hear President Obama claim the power to keep people in prison indefinitely with no charges against them, no conviction, no sentence, just imprisonment.
Joining us now is former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us. What do you mean there's no such thing as gun control, only people control? Tell me what that means.
Tucker, this is part of your ideological ploy by this administration. They're not being authentic with America, whether it's the sequester, health care, or the gun control issue. What they do is they manipulate an emotional crisis, a national emotional crisis, to further an ideological agenda which involves the evaporation, the slow disintegration of your civil rights, your liberties, your ability to live and let live. And it's a disturbing pattern that, frankly, is really starting to get under my skin.
The U.S. is funneling money into tracking systems that are threatening to make the very concept of privacy a thing of the past. It could mean people's every move being used against them to keep them under surveillance.
The information age was an era nearly everybody embraced. But today's surveillance age, experts say, is a reality almost no one can escape.
David, why does the DHS need 450 million hollow point bullets?
That kind of ammo that they purchased from ATK, hollow point ammunition, as you had explained, it's designed to, you know, tear through human flesh and then expand. It's designed to kill people. This is not the optimal kind of ammo you would buy for target practice. It's more expensive and it's more precise.
Do you think this is a sign that they're preparing for some sort of mass civil unrest?
So they have an open bid right now, DHS, for even more ammunition, for 175 million rounds of 223 caliber rifle ammo. It's almost identical to the ammunition used by NATO peacekeeping forces. So that's very interesting. Are they planning on some kind of widespread economic unrest in the U.S. that would require NATO forces to help us out?
$500 million in surplus military weaponry from the Pentagon, which is authorized through the Pentagon's 1033 program. During the late 70s, Congress passed legislation called Posse Comitatus, barring the military from operating on American soil. And in the early 80s, there was an effort to circumvent that in Congress by arming police with military-grade weaponry. And now we're seeing that play out in the streets. People in the inner city in the U.S. have been experiencing this. So civilians in the U.S. are now up against basically military-style policing.
The battle against terrorism involves all of us. Everybody in this country is a potential terrorist.
The Department of Homeland Security sent to law enforcement agencies across the country warning about the potential for an increase in right-wing extremist activity. It warns about groups and individuals dedicated to single issues like abortion, immigration, and gun rights.
Tonight, our focus is on every American's right to freedom of expression and freedom of religion. It's the Christians who are under siege by government officials and anti-religion groups who think Christmas and Christianity have no business in the public arena.
The Department of Defense has just issued a new list of extremists that should be watched. And on that, in fact, number one, past the Muslim Brotherhood, past Hamas, Hezbollah, number one, evangelical Christians.
We begin tonight with a newly leaked U.S. Army military police training manual for what they are calling civil disturbance operations. The Army manual outlines the plan to kill rioters and demonstrators in America. That's right, they have plans to confiscate our firearms and kill American citizens on U.S. soil. This during a mass civil unrest, I guess, shooting innocent civilians perhaps. And it goes on to describe how prisoners will be processed through internment camps. Wow. So there you have it. Our own military being trained for armed conflict with U.S. citizens. They're being trained to confiscate our guns in preparations to process us into camps during civil unrest.
A pretty scary scene along the Chicago River turns out to be a military training exercise.
There was nothing routine that folks reported about seeing the jarring, as they witnessed the jarring scene of at least three Black Hawk helicopters flying at times in close order formation.
Just in, a military drill in downtown Miami, complete with these Black Hawk helicopters, elite soldiers, and police officers swarming the street.
Back over here. This may be involved in this training or not. Again, let me tell you what all of this is that we know of. It's a joint military training exercise involving local police, also military.
Sight of Army helicopters and the sound of gunfire created a lot of concern this afternoon in one Houston neighborhood.
There were armed men in fatigues, plenty of weapons, and what many thought were real live rounds.
So here's the article about bank buildings. This is all part of other drills going on to acclimate the public to being attacked by our own military that are happening here in the United States. Here it is.
LAPD and elite military units conducted extraordinary counterterrorism training in the skies above downtown LA tonight.
At one point, they made what appeared to be a drop-off at a park. Within seconds of landing, the helicopter was back in the air.
It was a strange sight in the skies over Los Angeles. Military Special Forces flying a practice mission last night, and there are more exercises scheduled for today. The entire city of Boston is in lockdown. In the suburb of Watertown, police with guns drawn are searching door to door.
I mean, we had martial law up there. FBI and all these agents coming in, closing things down, going to people's houses.
Mr. President, I do want to get right to the news of this week.
Sure.
The terrorism in Boston.
Yeah.
Many people have wondered if it took you right back to 9/11 when you heard it.
Well, at first, I was deeply concerned that there might have been a organized plot. I don't know all the facts. I don't think we all know all the facts. But I was deeply concerned that this could have been...
While they're doing this, they're amassing this wealth in order to redirect it toward martial law endeavor, and not just in America, but globally. They want to lock down every country and force us into global governance, eventually force us into a global reserve currency that is like the Bancor that the IMF has been pushing.
And those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy
government.
Conspiracy theorists.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Yeah, well, when Geithner,
it's happening.
When Geithner said he would be open to the idea of a global currency last week,
yeah.
Those conspiracy people had said and suggested that for
That's
years.
Right.
You're not wrong.
And when massive foreign trade deals are made, they are done in U.S. dollars, which serves as the world's reserve currency. Now the UN is backing a plan to change all of that and create a new global currency.
There is a global meltdown coming. It is a global depression. And one world currency and one world financial system is the end game. China said last week they want one global currency. France said yesterday or the day before that they want one world order, a new world order, at the end of this event.
U.S. State Department, the Federal Reserve, even the EPA are sending billions of dollars overseas, and many economic and political decisions made in the United States just don't benefit us. They benefit a would-be one-world government. Because of the programs like this and just the fiscal conditions that we're in, it feels like there's a greater sense of urgency to get to that one-world government. Do you feel like the Obama administration may actually be hitting the gas rather than the brake pedal when it comes to this?
To answer your question, absolutely. I think Obama's got his foot on the gas pedal and is going full speed ahead with taking us towards a global government.
Oil looks higher, gold looks higher, currencies look weaker, all for the reasons that we talked about before. I mean, you've got huge wage disparities. I don't know how that inevitably resolves itself. It may resolve itself in some type of a global currency crisis. And then if the global currency crisis unfolds, then inevitably you get, an alignment under a global world government, a new global currency, and a new world order.
If the feds do not stop the wild spending and do not reform Medicare and Social Security, the U.S. dollar will collapse. That means that all of our savings, all of our investments, our homes, and everything else will blow up before our eyes.
This morning on Today's Health, a computer chip that could be implanted under your skin so doctors can quickly access your medical record. Explain to me briefly what the VeriChip is and what it is supposed to do.
VeriChip is a tiny miniaturized RFID or radio frequency identification microchip. It's 11 millimeters by 1 millimeter. It's about the size of a grain of rice.
Well, we've got one sitting there by a penny to give us a little perspective of the size. Very
correct.
Tiny. You implant it under the skin how?
It gets injected, just like getting a shot of penicillin or any medicine that you would get in a doctor's office. It goes in the upper right arm.
Implantable human chips. Supporters hail the technology as a medical marvel.
You have one in your arm right now.
That's correct.
Where is it?
It's in the upper right arm. It's a simple injection process.
Finally from us this evening, technology on the cutting edge. We were interested today to hear that more than 100 law enforcement officials in Mexico are having microchips implanted in their arms. The chips allow a person to be scanned.
The ultimate goal that these people have in mind is the goal to create a one-world government. Run by the banking industry, run by the bankers. The whole agenda is to create a one-world government where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips, right? There'll be no more cash. If you're like me or you, and you're protesting what they're doing, they can just turn off your chip, and you have nothing. You can't buy food. You can't do anything. It's total control of the people.
And that chip's connected to a database that has your purchasing records, what you do, what
everything.
You sell.
Everything is in there, you know? And so they want a one-world government controlled by them, everybody being chipped, all your money in those chips, and they control the chips, and they control people. And you become a slave. You become a serf to these people. That's their goal.
Okay, look, the CIA has done in this country, what they've done to us is unbelievable. Look at the terrorist acts that have occurred. The CIA behind most, if not all, of them.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach
nothing that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The turbo. All eyes looking to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We've been experiencing technical difficulties, and hopefully we can make it through this show without having the whole dropout going on, which is really obnoxious on my side, and I'm possibly pretty sure it's on your side as well. Obnoxious, anyway. The dropout's coming from my area. But anyway, that podcast you was listening to was pretty interesting, because it was a bunch of compilations of a bunch of different clips from media outlet sources talking about essentially a power grab for the government, the president, and all that kind of do, trying to set up a whole lot of power on the presidential side of things. Now, somebody in the media or out there in the world out there spends a lot of time and an effort in order to try to convince people that the government's completely out of control, and in alternative media. But then on the other hand, out of the other side of their neck, the same mainstream media will turn around and tell you that the person who is paying attention to the government being out of control is a conspiracy theorist or a nutcase for even referencing or mentioning the fact that the government's out of control. So one has to, if you're going to give this a fair shake, one has to step back and look at the big picture of the whole thing. What kind of purpose would somebody have to try to put you on a roller coaster of emotions and aggravation that we see if we actually pay attention to the mainstream media? First off, you know, the majority of them's lying to you anyway, or if at the very least they're politically biased to their own group right there. And so, you know, you're going to get what you get from one media, and you're going to get what you get from the other media. If the Democrat side or the Republican side, whichever one you're listening to, liberal or conservative, you're going to get that specific information catered to you from those particular networks. But either way, there's a lot more going on here than meets the eye, as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, on one hand, you're a nutcase for noticing, but on the other hand, it's right out there in public for you to notice, such as the whole Jade Helm drill there, where they're flying military helicopters over the top of your house and stuff like that, and, you know, playing war games right above us here in the United States. Now, I'm sure they're doing these type of drills all over the world, you know, whether they're bucking up and saber-rattling and gearing up for whatever conflict, or basically just trying to spook the opponents into believing that they're tough and so don't mess with us kind of thing. Regardless of all that, it has to have some sort of impact on the average Joe out there, you know. You got all these threats of economic collapse that you hear on a daily basis. The Chinese stock market going down, the American stock market going down, the European stock market, and so on and so forth, and countries going bankrupt, and bailouts, and bail-ins, and all that kind of stuff. If you sit back and pay attention to everything's going on, you'll end up with a headache. You know, you'll end up frustrated. You'll end up thinking the apocalypse is coming around and it's time to build you a bunker and prepare for doom and gloom. There's a deal, supposedly 23rd is something big going to go on. The Pope's going to come on over here and he's going to hang out with the President of the U.S. And, you know, there's all kinds of other events that's supposed to coincide with the same events. And so some folks are looking at it as some sort of either biblical signs or apocalyptic outcome or whatever.
Well, in fairness to this, Muslims and Christians both love Jesus, so I'm sure they'll find common ground.
Well, hopefully they find some common ground pretty doggone soon. But the whole thing is, Doomsday has been moved up and moved up and scooted over and moved out. You know, the year 2000 didn't play out to be as doomed as it was supposed to be. And then there was a 2012 Mayan calendar Doomsday. And now, you know, we're going on into the September 23rd Doomsday. And if you look back and you think about all this stuff that's going on, somebody's been busy behind the scenes. So somebody's been selling a lot of products, a lot of generators and food stores and all this kind of stuff. And
did you know that the Bush family have bought one of the largest natural aquifers? I think it was in Venezuela. They bought 100,000 acres of land over one of the country's biggest natural aquifers.
And
so they got a fresh water supply.
So if I
guarantee you there's nobody fracking near there.
So if I question that, the reasoning why they would buy such a thing right there, and I question, and I even remotely even sound like I'm speaking conspiratorial, then suddenly I'm a nutcase. But if we back up a second here, and you just mentioned a word called fracking. Now, when they're doing the hydraulic fracking, they're cracking up the ground, and nobody can see down inside there where they're pumping all that water and which portions of this water is actually going to go down into the aquifer, which is going to pollute the water. Now, we know that over in Louisiana that they busted through a salt mine by accident and drained out a large portion of the swamp into the salt mine. So, man, I'm telling you what. We've got the Three Stooges running the doggone world, you know. They got all the money they need. They can run muck. They can do whatever they want, and they can tax you on wind. They can tax you on solar. They can tax you on rainwater. You know, even throw you in jail for trying to build you a pond to feed your cattle and stuff. And one has the question, if that's not a conspiracy for somebody involved, then, you know, I'll eat my hat because... you know, somebody's going to make money if you are denied able to have your own fresh water supply on your deal. Somebody, you're going to have to go get that fresh water from somebody. Buy it for me, buy it from me or else kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, in fairness, is when I was looking up to find out what Jade Helm was about, when I did a Google search on it, all I got was a bunch of Asian erotic actors.
Well, the whole Jade Helm thing to begin with, it's questionable. Why would you need to do this over the top of... The military has their own bases. They have huge bases. They have some bases you can't even get anywhere within a five-mile range of it, and they're already on you, you know?
Yeah, so, because they're not allowed to kick in doors in Fallujah anymore, and they kind of enjoyed it. So, you know, what goes around comes around. If you're not allowed to do it there... Then you just go to Chicago or something like that and just do live fire operations over people's houses. I mean, it's kind of normal, isn't it?
Well, that's in my entire life, every so often you'd get a glimpse of a military jeep going from one base to the next out there, but it wouldn't be big old giant convoys. And so, okay, let's say everything's on the up and up. They're doing exactly what it is that they're supposed to be doing. Well, to the average Joe who is told that it's on a need-to-know basis what we're doing, and this is just a drill to see if the military can blend in without you knowing about it, that looks kind of suspicious. And your average Joe has the right to question what the heck is going on. Why all these trains of military stuff being moved over there. And so if you want a conspiracy to start, try to be secret about something. And as long as you're not willing to talk to the press and the press ain't involved in the situation to inform the public that no reason to panic, they're just doing some practicing and it'll be over here pretty soon and that kind of stuff. But if you go all the way back to the Posse Comitatus, hold on a second. If you go all the way back to the Posse Comitatus that was passed back in the 70s, and one of the reasons banned was because of an incident that happened where the National Guard ended up shooting at some college students, and the military, was not supposed to be used on American soil. However, now. The trick about it, and I said this in that podcast, I believe, that they pretty much militarized the police. If you look at the police, they look like the military, just a different color uniform. We've got the Army uniform, we got the Navy uniform, we got the Marines uniform, the Air Force uniform, which are all pretty much starting to blend in together where, you can't really tell. Outside, unless you know exactly what color their camouflage is going to be, but now the military or the police departments are either dressed all in black, which is back when they used to do the whole SWAT team kind of thing, and now they're looking military. So you got all this different military stuff going on, and then all these different. Reported police shootings, either the police getting shot or people getting shot, and you're hearing all these different executive orders being passed out down the line via the president, and so the average Joe's looking like, wait a second, there was a serve and protect there that used to be on the side of that police car, but now here what we got is what looks like a military, a militarized zone that we live in. You see what I'm trying to say here, guys?
Well, Shaziz, if they really wanted to be honest, they should change the served and protect to humiliate and intimidate.
Well, yeah, and there's the whole revenue portion of the deal, armed revenue generators for the state is essentially what they've become. It's not the serve and protect like it used to be. It's out there making money via fines and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's just a kickback for the local funding. But the big picture is to humiliate and intimidate. You will do as you're told.
You know, fellas, I know several police officers. I consider them friends. And I really believe that 95% of the young men and women that join the police force and go to the academy truly do it because they want to serve and protect. But then they get, once they become a police officer, you have power. And as somebody once said, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I believe that there are a lot of them that do go in with honorable intention, but since I had actually walked in those shoes at one point in my life, I actually got a visual from the inside to see exactly how the system actually functioned inside. And there is a whole lot of power play. There's a whole lot of covering your own back, and there's a whole lot of political going on there. A whole lot of pressure from local townships to local governments to generate revenue, and it's moved a whole lot farther away from what you would think as the traditional police department.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
Well, Shaziz, don't you say that in your experience, the police are there as peacekeepers or policy enforcers?
Well, the way that it was taught was that you are not there to interpret the law, you're there to enforce the law. So even if there's a law that you disagree with, you're there to enforce it, and that's it, plain and simple. Even though they say you have oh, what's the words I'm looking for? You can make a decision of your own. You know, you have discretion. You have certain discretions that you can...
I kind of get that as well, but there's a difference between somebody that keeps the vision of our constitution and somebody that enforces policy of civil servants.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is, if you back this thing all the way out and you step it away from just the average police guy and you step it away from the average military guy and you go follow the money trail, so to speak, back to the initial source of who's telling who what to do. All right, well...
Yes, this is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
In World War II, somebody that dug trenches in Kent didn't want to go to Belgium and shoot at young German men, but they either had a choice of going and to prison or going abroad and possibly getting killed by somebody that didn't want to see them any more than they wanted to see them. But it was the people in the upper echelons that found that working class people had expendable lives.
Yeah, and here's the thing that people have seriously got to realize, that these folks up there, they're playing both sides of the fence there. They're manipulating. It's flat out just manipulating public opinion. Now, they come out and tell you that that's what they do, all right? Right there in front of your face. But they will get it in somebody's head on this side that if you talk about what you see, then you're a conspiracy nut. If you act on any of this, then you're just a crazy, all right? Well, a lot of times there's provocateurs involved in the situation that are supposedly there to enforce the laws, you know, executive branch of government, which is the president is part of the executive branch of government. He's supposed to be there to enforce the laws. However, he kind of picks and chooses what he wants to enforce and what he doesn't want to enforce, which is counterproductive to the executive branch. And now the same thing will apply all the way down the line with... You can't pick and choose the laws that you're going to enforce. If it's a law, it's a law. That's the way it goes. But it has to be straight across the board, the same for everybody else. And when somebody from, let's say, the general population, the citizens, notice that, hey, this isn't right, they're getting by with murder over here, then that breeds a conspiracy thought in their mind. Maybe there's something going on here, right? But don't point it out, because the moment you point it out, you're a nutcase. You see what I'm saying?
That's exactly what you're saying.
So they're like handcuffing a young man on a platform in a tube station and then shooting him in the back.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly what it is.
You have to protect yourself. I mean, that guy that's handcuffed laying on his face is really a threat to four large, muscular men.
Yeah, and there's supposed to be a level of force. You only exceed the level of force enough to neutralize the situation. You're not supposed to get over forceful. That is basically, if it takes me to twist your arm and set you down to keep you from hurting yourself or somebody else, then I'm only supposed to use that level of force that is necessary to take control of the situation in the worst case scenario. However, you've seen a whole lot of things in there, people body slamming 98-pound ladies face first in the dirt, you know, and that's well above and beyond what is necessary. Well, when your average Joe sees that, of course they're going to have anger. Alright, and then...
You can't have anger, that's a negative emotion.
Well, that's natural, you know, if you see somebody being harmed, you get frustrated. Well, and
you
know that.
You don't have permission to do that to this.
Well, that's the deal.
Well, actually, no, you did have permission to do that, because you were wearing a badge at the time, but the point is if you're not wearing a badge and you haven't been approved by a bunch of civil servants that have probably never worked a real day in their life, and never really had to put up with a great deal of stress. And you know, you can sit down and you can put on a piece of paper this arbitrary rule that I write the cops have to protect themselves from 15-year-old retarded children with a fluorescent yellow water gun. And that's real justification to the shooting.
Well, once again, it all goes back to public perception of what's actually going on. And there's a whole lot of manipulation behind the scenes. I did a video back in, I think, 2011, when they were talking about the switch from analog TV to digital TV, because I saw a tragedy getting ready to occur. See, back in the day of analog TV, you could just send that signal out there, and there wasn't really no way that anybody could manipulate that signal outside of maybe just cutting the signal altogether. But with a digital signal, if anybody knows what TiVo is, you've got a bit of a delay. You got some time to work with some stuff. And digitally manipulating photography is basically, you know, goes to the green screen, blue screen, CGI kind of thing. So then one would actually have to be cautious to question what they're actually seeing on TV. All right? That's a whole lot more power than you realize. Because it only takes, most people when they're watching, reading a story or whatever, they're looking at the pictures first, right? And if there's a tragic picture on there, you know, sometimes they'll just skim across the story and they got it in their head that this is a real event. Well, I found out the hard way after doing this video. I learned for myself. There was a video that came out, and it was basically Congress was sitting around reading a bill that they were getting ready to pass. And every so often, when it got to a certain part in the bill, they would say redacted. Everything was redacted. Everything was classified or redacted. And I'm like, hold on a second. That ain't right. I mean, this is this is supposed to be the public servants. Well, after careful examination and checking around further, I had noticed that there is a little onion in the bottom of the screen on that video right there, and there is a website out there called the Onion News Network that they basically make a mockery of news, the way that news reports, and it looks like a real story. I mean, it's so well done that it looks like a real news broadcast, but what it turns out to be is just a flat out joke. But your average Joe will actually thumb that up and send it on down the line to somebody else. And if nobody's hip to the fact that this is a joke and they didn't read the descriptions in the bottom of it, then they would fall for that story. You see what I'm trying to point out here?
Yeah, but to this, in all honesty, truth is stranger than fiction.
Well, you know, ironically enough, it is. It's just the same as it is in the real world. You know, that's how the real government acts. But the fact that a bogus story is pushed off as a real story, even if it's done in jest as a joke, is pretty dangerous. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it is a couple of truths that are a little bit stranger than fiction. Now, these may be my opinion, and they may not reflect the views of everybody, but the German Pope spent 20 years covering up clerical abuse of 250,000 children in the Republic of Ireland, and he was the first guy to resign in 600 years. When the new Pope took over, they found a young red boy ring in the Vatican, and they dismissed 19 bishops. They found an accountant in the Vatican was happily washing oodles of Nazi gold coming out of Swiss banks, and they gave him the boot as well. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Well,
this is supposed to be the head leadership of over a billion people on the planet, one-sixth of the planet's population, and their own headquarters is rife with corruption, paedophilia, and people washing Nazi gold.
Well, sort of in the general vicinity of what you just talked about is another episode that's going on out there in the Planned Parenthood deal, where they're talking about selling baby parts and stuff. Now, I don't understand personally why this is still an issue. I don't understand why the Federal Bureau of Investigations isn't all over these people. All right? Because if it had been any average Joe, they would have got raided a long time ago. You can't even sell alternative medicines or anything like that without having the Food and Drug Administration come in on you, you know, with the war machine. So
yeah, but Shaziz, if you want to sell a drug, you have to pay them $250,000. minimum just to have it registered. And then you have to spend years and years and years testing it on students and foreigners to make sure that it's safe for the general population.
So essentially what I'm hearing from you and everybody is that it's a kind of do as I say, not as I do kind of episode. The laws are for the citizens and the government is run amok. So that's the basically what I'm hearing.
Well, you know what they say, it's kind of communism for the poor and it's socialism for the rich.
Yeah.
And the idea is everybody's equal. Well, the Socialist Workers' Party came to my home in Ireland a few years back in the last election, and I said to them, well, if we're all going to be equal, can I be one of those people that are a bit more equal than everybody else?
Well, it's basically know your place.
I've got a particular issue with the Socialist Party. I mean, everybody's got their theories and everybody's entitled to their opinion, but it kind of works out that way, doesn't it?
It's basically know your place and shut your face. That's what we're told. And don't point out what you see. If the black helicopters come over the top of your house, it's just a drill. And if these drills just so happen to coincide with news episodes where somebody's shooting up either a school or a church or something like that, or a mall or theater, then, don't try to look at the video footage put out and scrutinize it, because if you do, then that makes you a conspiracy nut, you know. All the time, it aggravates me if I happen to just get on there to see what they're lying about, and I'm hearing them talk about how this certain YouTuber's a conspiracy goon and all this kind of stuff, you know, and they're sitting there mocking and ridiculing, but they're the ones that put the video out. And if the video doesn't match the facts, then somebody should be questioning it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Planned Parenthood selling baby parts, because there was a hospital in Liverpool. It was a children's hospital, and when children died, particularly stillborn, they were taking their organs out and selling it to pharmaceutical companies for drug testing.
Well, see...
And this happened a number of years ago.
It's first off, in my view, from my world, it's sickening. I mean, that anybody would even do that is sickening. I mean, there is some sort of sanctity to life, even if the life didn't even get got cut short. You know, to me, flat out, it's murder. You know, and to be doing it selling off baby parts, that's so far away from humanity that I can't even visualize why. You know, I reference the Holy Bible all the time, and I talk about different things there because I consider myself to be a Christian and not the version of what everybody else out there thinks. But regardless, in that book it talks about, you know, things that are going on in the last days, wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence. You know, if somebody back in a couple thousand years ago saw society, maybe a prior society to us, and they saw how it basically went up and then fell down, and why it crashed, because people got so corrupt that they ended up destroying themselves with their technology. If that was the way that it went, and the book was basically built as just a warning sign for the future, humanity's not paying attention at all. Because we're doing, as a society, as a global family, we're doing exactly what we was warned not to do, because this is going to come down, you know? A simple, thou shalt not kill. Why would you say that? I mean, it's a pretty good idea that if you're going to kill somebody's going to want to kill you. So, I'm having Skype trouble again. Anyway, folks, just... there's a whole lot more to this whole deal than meets the eye. And I'm going to mute that while that's ringing through there. So, do-do-do-do-do. I hate when that happens. But, internet dropping again. The whole thing is that there is an entity out there that is literally manipulating people's thoughts and views. Are you guys back? Okay, well, I guess I don't hear them just yet, so maybe they'll come back in there. There's a lot more to this story than meets the eye. people need to really be on their toes, especially in the here and now, and in order to not get shipped off in the wrong direction as far as, I don't know, the what's right, what's wrong kind of thing. The you got to watch the people's actions. And if their actions don't match the facts, then you have to question what you're saying. It sounds like you guys are back. I just heard Raymond's air conditioner.
Yeah, I had my wife muted because the air conditioner was on. As soon as it turned off, I had to lift my mic again.
But in fairness to this, I've had a couple of interactions with supposed law enforcement.
Yeah?
With supposed law enforcement officers. And I've asked them a very simple question when they said, I've committed an offence and I've done this and I've done that. I said, look, well, what it comes down to is, do I work for you or do you work for me?
Well, and that's the whole point right there. That is the ultimate question. Do they work for you or do you work for them? And from what I understand, we were set up as a representative republic. We elect individuals to go out there and represent us, we the people. And when they're not doing the job that they're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to have the choice to unelect them, so to speak. You know, change
our
government. Huh?
It's called recall.
Yeah, recall.
If somebody goes out on the campaign trail and says, yeah, I'm going to make sure that we've got ice cream on every street corner and all the bunnies are going to be fluffy, and they're not, then you can say, well, you basically lied to us during the election, so we're going to take your job and your pension off you because you cannot be trusted, because you basically lied through your teeth to get yourself into the position where you could start manipulating things. And now there's no fluffy bunnies and there's no ice cream on the street corners. So you're out.
Well,
I mean, if you told us that, you know, there was going to be 15 trees per square meter, and when in front is 15 trees per square meter, it might have been difficult to drive, but at least you did what you said you were going to do.
There is a information war going out there. That's kind of borrowing the phrase from Alex Jones, regardless of what you guys think of the man. That I'm glad that at least he's out there doing kind of like the when you got different branches of government, those are set up there as checks and balances. And in the media, if you got opposing views out there, those are pretty much checks and balances. And so if the questions are being posed, then at least somebody out there is paying attention to what's going on. And the questions, nobody can get total control because there's a war, an information war going on out there. But in the alternative media and the alternative energy deal, you got these terms out there that they call shills and trolls that are out there trying to, you know, like I get something really interesting that I want to share with everybody. Somebody will inevitably rush out there to debunk it. That's it. They got to prove me to be an idiot. That's not possible. That's against the laws of physics or whatever, you know, blah, blah. Or they'll just come flat out there and call me stupid. And, you know, other people with impressionable minds kind of hear, you know, this going on and the mockery or whatever. And they'll either believe me or not believe me or whatever, but their opinion is definitely swayed by one way or another by the person's actions. You see what I'm saying?
Well, the trickler of the troll is either anti-Semitism, racism, or just general ignorance, to be perfectly honest.
A lot of it's just but general ignorance.
It usually comes down to, homophobia, anti-Semitism or racism.
Yeah, but then once again you have to back up and you have to say, is that person out there that's actually doing that, is that a person out there legitimately that stupid, or are they out there intentionally trying to stir the pot like a provocateur? You see what I mean?
Well, would you say that if somebody was paid to go out to YouTube channels and bring up, you know, anti-Semitism, racism, homophobia, all of these various big words that I can't really spell, and you've got my far more consonants than I'm really comfortable with, But there are people that are paid to do that.
Yeah. And there are other self-promoters out there that will literally go on to other YouTube channels and create a controversy just to get people to come over to theirs. Because in the media, whether it be alternative media or mainstream media, there's any press is good press, whether it's negative or whatever, because you actually have traffic coming to you. They're either coming there to curse you out or they're coming there to tell you they support you. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I think that was actually a phrase coined by Zsa Zsa Gabor, like a prominent actress in the 1960s, and she said, "There's no such thing as bad press."
Yeah, any press is good press because it keeps the drama and the controversy going. Well, now you guys are starting to see a big picture here. If you step back and you're paying attention to what we're talking about, you're seeing that there is a power structure out there that is literally using every trick in the book to manipulate your opinion. You know, nobody just up and takes a country to war. First they start paving the road saying there's bad guys in this country, so we got to go over there and we got to stop them so we can save freedom for everybody, you know.
Well, they start paving the road with the concept that people that you've never met halfway around the planet are going to put bombs on yours, so we better go and put bombs on theirs first.
Yeah.
So it's called an IED, an insurgent explosive device, which is actually a technique that was taught to the Mujahideen of the 1980s Afghanistan Northern Alliance by the CIA.
Well, and it poses a whole lot of questions, don't it? This whole CIA thing.
Well, you know? Do you know how I know that, Shaviz? Because I spoke to a general of the Northern Alliance who told me that he was taught by the CIA how to build IEDs.
Well,
in the 80s.
Because
it's great
it.
For blowing up Russian tanks.
I believe it, mainly because I've heard them in their own specific words talk about destabilization of nations. You know, if they want to overthrow a government, what better way to do it? Start a civil war in their city. You know, go down there, have a little Jerry Springer on the street corner telling this guy that guy done mocked his prophet or whatever, and this guy over here tell him that the other guy mocked his prophet, and before they know it, these two are out there trying to jihad each other. You know what I mean?
It's kind of ironic that they keep talking about invading Iran, because something like four times in the last 60 years, various intelligence agencies from various countries have all worked together to overthrow the people that Iran have chosen to lead their country. Whether it's a democracy, whether it's a dictatorship, why should we be putting our opinions on their? Why should we be forcing our lifestyle and opinion on how they want to live their lives? I think it was 1956 was the first time that they overthrew the Iranian government. Then it was in the 70s, then it was in the 80s. They've done it about four times. I haven't got the exact times and dates off the top of my head, but I do know that the Iranian government have been either manipulated, overthrown, or put into a position of basically incapability of running their own country at least four times since the 1950s, and they wonder why they hate the West.
Well, just know this, that even though there's a whole lot of anti-American sentiment going on there, you got to step back even farther and look at the entirety of the big picture, because the whole United Nations thing out there, now everybody's saying that, well, it's all for the safety of humanity. You know, so we're going to do all these drills that show how our strength is, so that our allies know that we're strong, and our enemies know that we're strong, and everybody, will not fight and all that. It's all for the better of everybody's safety. But in the meantime, you're stirring the racial pot down on one side, you're stirring the religious pot on the other side, you're still stirring the political pot. So all this stuff is getting going on, and it's all directed towards an ultimate distraction. I got to ask a question, all right? What kind of government would spend millions and millions of dollars to move strategically military equipment and supplies and build all this stuff and buy ammunition for? Heck, even the post office got bullets out of the deal. All right, well, why you spend all this kind of money? I mean, who are you planning on warring against? I mean, if you're the post office, you're supposed to be delivering mail, not stocking up on ammunition, you know. That's,
delivering mail one bullet at a time.
Yeah. You know, and everybody starts dying from lead poisoning, then people will stop calling you a conspiracy nut because there's something really right there in your face going on.
There is an alternative perspective to the mass purchase of ammunition by the federal government in the United States of America, because you could consider that if they can't ban the guns, they're going to buy so many bullets, there's going to be none left on the shelves for anybody else to get.
Well, there's a lot of, there's so much going on in this world, it's just mind-boggling. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to try to find a link. There is an actual company out there that is advertising that they have a fuelless generator that they will sell you that runs from 6 kilowatts up to, I think, or 60 kilowatts or something like that, all the way up to 150 or 200 kilowatts. And they say that this is a fuelless generator, basically a free energy source, but then again, they want to sell this particular device to you starting at $5,000, depending on how big of a system that you want. All right, so...
Dollar or what?
Yeah, so even in the alternative media, you got these situations where there are individuals out there monopolizing and trying to basically... Look, let's say I got a bogus plan for a free energy device, and I'm going to send this out, and I'm going to make me as much money, and then I'm going to disappear off into the background. Well, that makes everybody else out there who is really trying to do something look bad. You see what I mean?
I blame the TV evangelists. Well, it's all their fault. They started it.
Wasn't Roosevelt who said, walk softly and carry a big stick?
Well, I don't know. It sounded like something John Wayne said, but either way, it's pretty much common sense.
Yeah, if you're Nick Jacobs, your neighbor's not going to pick on you.
Raymond, wasn't it J.P. Morgan that said, I don't care who issues the currency, who makes the laws if I issue the currency?
There you go. He did. You're right. Hey, what about the cop here about 6 or 8 months ago in California? He had a whole bunch of rifles and guns and stuff, and over 100,000 rounds of ammunition. I got an email from a friend of mine that said, well, you know, really, they made a big stink out of this. And the thing is, in Mississippi, he'd be a very eligible bachelor that you would hope would become your son-in-law. In Texas, he'd be your best friend down the road, but just a little short on ammunition.
I'm going to send this link into the Skype chat. Can you guys kind of deliver it over there to the other chat? Because I'm still having network difficulties. But either way,
yeah, I'll tell you.
The only reason why I'm posting this out there is because, you know, they're claiming that they've already got essentially a free energy device that takes no fuel. It's basically self-contained. And so I haven't had enough time to look into it. I listened to the basic concept of how they say that it actually functions or whatever. But either way, whether it be alternative medicine, whether it be alternative energy, whether it be alternative media, the information war that's going on out there is it's mind-boggling. You got to be careful. You got to pick and choose of what you pay attention to and what you take to heart. Without research and verification of it, I wouldn't believe nothing I was told at all, period. I'm telling everybody out there, if I'm telling you something, you know, even if you trust me to the extremes, don't even believe nothing I say unless you check it out, verify it. I want you to do your own research, because that's how you'll know the truth when you see it. You see what I mean?
Yeah. But Shaziz, I mean, when it comes down to it, the snake oil salesmen of the late 1800s were not a new idea.
No, but... we're talking about trying to build the world a better place, right? Ain't that the ground, the footing that we're all standing on as the Knights of the Round Table, is trying to make the world a better place one positive pebble at a time. Well, while we are literally paving the road, we got somebody behind us with a shovel tearing up the road. You see what
well,
I mean?
I saw a funny phrase in a chat room the other day. It was head of the round table. And I said, have you not worked out basic geometry?
Yeah, how could you have somebody, that's what the whole purpose of the round table was, if there's no...
Yeah, I mean, how could you be head of the round table? I mean,
Anyway, if you guys could post that link inside there for me, I appreciate that, because I'm having like the network issues going on, and I'm surprised we're still going right at the moment. You know, this thing, that's kind
well,
of...
Just this.
What?
Just a little tidbit from Asia. A Chinese person will very rarely sit at a square table.
Yeah, I believe you. But here's one of the things I've noticed here, even in the alternative media, is that when somebody believes that something is possible, and they'll start to talk about it, and they'll start to discuss the possibilities, and you'll always have somebody in there that is either jaded by all the information that they've been presented before, or don't believe that we should go in a certain direction, and so that basically will cause conflict inside there. You know, it kind of happened to us yesterday on the Mad Science Channel, and I don't believe it was done intentionally, but it's just a tiny example of what goes on in the alternative media, and that's basically what they would call what the shields do, the government shields. They will go in and they will create controversy and distract everybody from what it is that they actually should be doing towards accomplishing a goal. And that's what people really seriously in the alternative media need to pay really close attention to watch out for stuff like that. You see what I mean?
We have a very particular phrase in my cultural analogy. It's called talking dude.
Huh. Yeah.
Is that good enough for you?
Yeah, that's about it. But you know, the whole thing is, you know, we're trying to do something good here. Really, honestly, we're actually trying to do something good here. And if we could get other people who are interested in seriously trying to do some good and basically watch each other's back and find these individuals as they're coming dropping in there and starting troubles in networks or whatever, you know, the government's going to lose their power that way, because if they're going to be paying somebody to go in and stir the pot, then they're going to, at least if they land here on ShazizRadio.com, they're going to fail, and they're going to waste their money, because we're not going to fall for it, you know? We'll just reach over there and click on that ban button, and how many ever names come back in there, or IP addresses that come back in there to want to keep on doing the same shenanigans, we'll just ban them. Because we understand what's going on out there. The manipulation coming from the mainstream media isn't exclusive to just the mainstream media. It's in the alternative media. What do you guys think?
Well, I think there's people out there with more time and money on their hands than they know what to do with. And they kind of get a kick out of just wasting other people's time, because they have rather sad and uninteresting lives, and it gives them a feeling of perhaps superiority. So instead of going into a room where somebody's trying to work out an idea and attacking them and attacking them and attacking, how'd you do this? How'd you do that? Where's this going to come from? And usually I'd like to say to them, can you go yourself, please do.
Well,
because if the best you can do is to come in and attack me and offer no solutions other than how do I do this, how do I do that, I'd rather hear you say, have you considered doing this?
That's the key.
If you're not doing that, you're just a fool. You don't know any more than I do. You're just a miserable git.
That's the key. If you set out to judge somebody only by their actions, then you're going to basically be holding a fair scale of justice, so to speak. I mean, like, you know, the whole...
I'm so brainy and I'm so clever that I can ask these awkward questions that I don't know the answers to, but I know you don't know the answers to either.
Well, that's counterproductive towards moving forward is what I'm trying to point out. And that's exactly what whoever is at behind the scenes, you know, they say the president's just a puppet and it's all secret society and so on and so forth. We all know all the conspiracies. Regardless, I don't care who's in charge of the whole deal. If you can't recognize you're being had from the get-go, if you're afraid to speak up and point out a discrepancy that you just saw on the mainstream news for fear of being called a conspiracy theorist, if you're afraid to admit that you're a Christian, then were you really a Christian to begin with? Were you really a truther to begin with? If you're afraid to say what is the truth, then they won. It's as simple as that, you know?
The question is if a king could be president, one on offering, and at least only once Mr. Universe.
Do what now?
I'm not repeating that twice.
Okay, well, all right. Well, the whole thing is that look, man. If you can't judge these folks by their actions, then there's something wrong with the system. If you're afraid to confront the individuals who are supposedly there to represent you, then there is something wrong with the system. If your government is no longer representing you, and it's blatantly obvious by the criminal actions being taken that they are not out there for your better good, that it's always going to be that, you know, the bank bailouts. Raymond, have you ever had a problem where maybe you overspent or something, and you got charged the overdraft fee?
Four times you got fingers and toes.
Yeah, well, if you overspend, then they will come back and they will charge you a penalty. But if the banks overspend, then the government comes in there and rewards them.
Yeah.
That's not representation.
It is. I actually had that situation myself about 15 years ago where the bank charged me some fees that I didn't owe them. And because those fees put me into the red, then they charge me overdraw fees.
Yeah, and by the time they got it all sorted out...
I rang the bank manager up, I went down and sat in front of the bank manager, and I said, how stupid do you think I am? First of all, you had no right to charge me the first fee, which means you had absolutely no right to charge me the second fee. So you can pay back both those deductions from my account, because it was your error that you made the first charge, so I'm not responsible for the second charge. Even though it's in the contractual obligation that if I go into the red, then I have to pay you a penalty, you put me in the red.
Yeah.
And I rang you, they would have said, wait a minute, can I get a short-term overdraft of $50?
Let me tell you,
come to the table for 1 week for me. And you said no. And I said, and do you think I'm an idiot?
I
paid everything back. He just didn't argue with it. Because when you catch them red-handed, they're not that brave.
Yeah.
I'd like to say something that happened to me, and I like one of the listeners that live in the United States, where you have debit cards. This goes on all the time. You have a debit card, and you have, say, for example, $5 in your debit card, and you charge something that's $10. It'll go through. It goes through because the penalty for that is a $35 overdraft charge. And you can do it over and over again. Now, if you try to charge something that's $40 or $45 or more, since the penalty is only $35, they will deny it. I mean, so if you've got a debit card on your checking account or your savings account, watch your balance, because literally charge 10, 15 times, and they will let it go through as long as it's below $35, because they know you're going to pay it eventually, and you're going to get $35 each time you do it. That happened to me. I charged something three times to people, and the highest charge I got it today was $70. And I only had $3 in my checking account and didn't know it. But in a debit card, I thought it would be denied if I had money. It will not. If most of the time dollars it goes through. All right, Raymond. So, yes.
When I was 26, the bank gave me a credit card with a limit on it of $26,000.
Your audio's cutting out real bad.
For me?
Yeah, you're back now. Try it again.
Okay. When I was 26, quite some time ago now, the bank issued me with a credit card because I wanted to fly places and that was the best way to book it on the internet. And they gave me a credit limit of 26,000 Irish pounds. My salary at the time was 22,000. So I walked into a car dealership and I rang the bank and I said, I'd like to buy this car for 26,000 pounds. And they said, well, why are you ringing us? And I said, well, because I only earn 22,000 a year and I want to buy this car for 26,000. I'm wondering what the interest rates are if I can't pay that back within 30 days. And they said, we canceled your card, sir. Please return it to the bank. It's our property. I said, is that before or after I wipe it through the brown crease in the back of my trousers? Oh, have mercy.
Yeah.
I walked into the bank with a pair of scissors and I asked to see the bank manager. And I cut it up in front of him. And I said, you people are scum. Because you think we're stupid. And just walked away.
And he probably laughed all the way through his lunch because he knows that there are smart people out there, but the majority are stupid. He grinned at me, he laughed.
Well.
And it was kind of, well, you've obviously worked out this little scam, but we'll catch you on the next one, don't worry.
Okay. Hey, the thing is, did they ever tell you how much interest they were going to charge you?
No.
They wouldn't tell you?
I asked for the terms and conditions, and he said, we've cancelled your account, there is an error.
Oh my God.
The whole,
I said, yeah, you thought I was stupid.
The whole moral of this entire deal is that, you know, we keep talking about people need to be awake, you know, they need to pay attention, and in this day and age, if you ain't paying attention, you're going to get had. Plain and simple.
You know, I believe it was 2007 in the Republic of Ireland, the government passed new legislation which meant that the bank could not automatically increase your credit card limit without your permission.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So they're coming.
Over 35,000 euro credit card limit in 2008, and I didn't even have a job.
Is anybody seeing a trend here?
Yeah.
The private banking system out there, they control a whole lot more than meets the eye. They're behind the scenes of conflicts. They're behind the scenes of immoralities, such as the Planned Parenthood debacle there. There are companies out there that are buying these things, these baby parts, for research purposes. And Lord knows what these research purposes have entailed to, you know, I've even heard things such as that they use a special portion of a genetic deal for making something taste real good, you know, or making it have sort of addictive quality to it, so to speak, or whatever. But however you want to think about it, it's just pure evil, man. If they're really seriously using stem cells to do research for people that are in the food industry to be able to sell their product, am I the only one who thinks that is disgusting and pure sickness?
You're right. It's worse than that, Shaziz.
It is.
I would highly recommend that anybody that's interested in their personal health and long-term longevity of health, go and look at the qualities of wheat and sugar.
The problem is, there's good and bad in everything, and no matter how good you want something to be, somebody's going to turn it bad. So research, be it baby parts or grown people parts, research has brought forth more cures and medications and so forth than you could possibly imagine. Somebody's going to take the good and turn it into the bad. That's all there is to it.
Here's the thing about that. That's kind of a it's kind of a falsehood, because that's how they use to justify that they do things like that. All right. First off, I'm not into not being able to advance in society. Science has to do some things, but science kind of takes if you give them an inch, they take a mile. You know, they go well beyond what they're supposed to be doing for research. And then the more money is involved in a deal, now you don't just got the science guy who's doing the research. Now you got people that opened up a black market underneath the scene. All right, and if these things are truly occurring, which nothing in this world would surprise me at this stage in the game, but.
Well, in fairness to this, the French invaded the German train station in 1939 because the Germans weren't really paying their costs of the Treaty of Versailles. But that wasn't really an excuse to kill 6 million people.
Well, some folks out there kind of think the ends justifies the means. You know,
point I'm trying to make to this is the medical advances that came out of that event have led us to where we are today.
Well, I can't argue with advancement in there, but I can't agree with the ends justifies the means, because every time I think about that whole Georgia Guidestones episode, I get sick to my stomach, because it talks about reducing the world's population, which at this point is probably like 8 billion people on the planet. It talks about putting the world's population down to 500 million people on the planet. Of course, if you point that out, then you're a conspiracy nut, so you can't say anything about that. But regardless, you don't have to be a math whiz to understand that 500 million is substantially smaller than 8 billion.
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of the way that the leading family and elite families have been going over the last 150 years. There's more than 500 million of them.
Well, maybe that's...
If you're a distant cousin to the Queen, you're not going to make it.
So, listen, here's the thing, you know, who gets to determine who gets to go? I've seen all these different videos out there about, post-apocalyptic worlds to where you got to go get sterilized, and they tell you how many kids you can have and when you can have a kid or anything like that, and it's a crime to have a baby without being having permission and that kind of stuff. That to me sounds like a sick world, and I wouldn't want to live in a world such as that, man.
Doesn't China do that today?
Of course they do, but that's the thing. It's going to be a worldwide deal, because if you listen to the beginning of this show today, here on the Knights of the Round Table, and you heard all the things that they were saying that they were putting in place, essentially giving the President of the United States dictatorial powers, and it's not just happening here in the United States. You can find a trend going all over in all the major countries of the world, and the United Nations being the small group that be telling everybody what to do. But who elects from here in the United States alone, which we're supposed to be a sovereign nation just like many others out there are supposed to be a sovereign nation, who elects the people who are going to make the life and death decisions of whether or not you get the medicine that you need, or whether or not you get the get to have a child or not? Who elects these individuals? See what I'm saying?
Even in their best efforts, in their wisdom, the United Nations in the 1970s went to the continent of India and decided to offer money to any Indian man that would have the SNP. Reproduction facilities. And of course, these guys in their 40s that had six kids were quite happy to take a SNP, because it basically meant they could go and get fruity with any girl they want, and they didn't have to worry about 9 months later them turning up with a bundle of joy looking for money. And they got paid for it.
Man. Oh. I tell you what, what a tangled web we weave.
Yeah, but through population reduction, you're actually encouraging promiscuity.
So...
Oh, but they have the guys that already had six kids. They weren't going to have any more anyway, because they couldn't afford them.
My question is this: are we fighting a losing battle here? Is the people out there who are the supposed awake, the super minority of this entire deal? Is this entire one world government thing going to happen regardless of whether we like it or not? At the current rate, the way the power structure is set up, it appears to me, anyway, that this is going to happen whether we like it or not. You know?
I honestly think, Shaz, is at the end of the day, what's going to happen is they're going to have a global government and they're going to have regional offices. It's like everything. You know, you need a structure to be able to promote what you're doing. And there may be a time of, you know, like a teething period, like a child when their teeth first come through, where everybody's screaming and shouting and everybody's horrible and everybody's miserable. And it'll calm down after that. And what it'll end up with is regionalization. Because there is not the capacity of one individual to sit at the very top of that pyramid and control everything. It's like we're not built like that.
Like man said, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well,
look at the Roman Empire, look at the Assyrian Empire, look at the Austro-Hungarian Empire, look at the German Reich. These always fail.
Well, I have to point out, you know, that that book that everybody mocks and ridicules all the time seems to be pretty specific about how the last days play out as far as wars, rumors of wars, and one world governments and currencies and being forced to have a mark that you can't buy, sell, or trade. It's pretty much there, you know, just like it was said. So, there must have been somebody. We got the Skype problem again. So, it looks like...
goods and food, so they would vote for them.
Well, apparently you guys are back again.
We never went anywhere, mate. You're the one that keeps dropping in and out.
Yeah, I know. It's Honest Dave's used ISP service, and I've got a whole lot of editing to do in order to try to make a decent podcast out of this deal, and I'll have to get on to the whole... internet supplier and find out why this keeps occurring, but either way, it's obnoxious.
Is.
Yeah.
I told you not to go with Bong Water Telecom.
Yeah, well, I did, so there we go. Live and learn.
I told you it was two pieces of two tin cans and a bit of string.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say about this whole fear of a global government is every time they've attempted it, no matter what they've done, it hasn't worked. Because people are generally, they're going to put up with so much for so long, but we are generally free-spirited people. And it's like trying to control the population is like trying to grab a chunk of jelly. The tighter you squeeze your fist, the more it slips through.
All right, so with that said, let's speak hypothetically here, okay? Now it's not necessary my view that maybe there was, maybe there wasn't, like prior civilizations that literally got to a certain point where they had built themselves a global government and people weren't happy, and so there was conflicts that continued until eventually it all dropped off, you know. Basically, they crashed their own society. And there went my doggone internet again. So, you know, oh, this drives me insane. I'm going to have one heck of a mess in order to try to keep this thing, get this thing situated. But let's say hypothetically that there were prior societies that basically got to a certain point where they ended up destroying themselves and the entire world, and then civilization started over again, all that kind of jazz. Somebody in that history would have put down some warning signs to say, look, you know, this is what happened last time. You might want to pay attention to it.
Well, have you thought about this? All these grey aliens that people claim live below the surface of the Earth in caves, 500 feet below the surface of the Earth, maybe they're the surviving generations of a bunch of preppers that knew Armageddon was coming a couple hundred thousand years ago, and kind of stocked up a bit, and it's still there.
It could very well be. It looks like it dropped off again. Alright, folks, we're experiencing technical difficulties again, which doesn't surprise me any. I'm sitting here watching my modem turn itself on and off, so either I'm saying the wrong thing and, kind of having my internet fluctuated at their amusement, or, it's just another one of those little coincidences. Ring, ring. This is pretty aggravating. So we're going to keep on keeping on here at the Shazoo's Radio Network, and hopefully this thing will stop. All right. Well, you guys are back, and you got cut off, and I didn't hear what you was finishing saying, so if you want to get it in, you might want to run it in fast. Are you there, Steve? Yep, guess not. Must have lost him again. All right, so, basically, folks, the whole purpose of what I'm trying to point out in this deal, this is the time in life when you need it seriously. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, you guys keep dropping in and out. Well, actually, it's me dropping in and out because my internet service is freaking out, so... Either I'm talking about something that the old elite out there, the corrupt section of society, doesn't want me to talk about, and they keep flipping the switch on me to have some funnies. Regardless, I'm going to continue to do this show until I'm done, and then I'll patch it all together in Audacity Mixer and make this huge file and put it up online anyway, so there will be a podcast regardless of whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Look, man, I'm pointing out the obvious to most folks. It's preaching to the choir, but you have to understand when you're looking and listening to all the information being presented to you out there that these individuals who are in the know are doing things for a reason. Nobody just moves that much equipment across the states unless they're up to something. Whether they know something major is getting ready to occur and just getting everything in order, and while at the same time you got somebody on TV telling you the stock market in China is crashing, the stock market over in Europe is crashing, the stock market in the United States is crashing, and so you got these fears of economical collapse and such. Who really suffers during the economical collapse? Are millionaires going to be broke after this collapse, or is it just something that's going to make the people have to pay higher prices for stuff? What do you guys think?
It is.
Yeah.
The whole point of these stock market reductions and devaluations is to get rid of all the money that they've made up.
There you go.
So they can start again.
So the rich people essentially come out the other side still rich.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you wipe a billion off of a private holding of 10 billion, you've still got 9 billion left.
What a mess. What a mess.
This is this race to make money, instead of producing value. And the thing is, you can't eat paper. So every decade we have these recessions because the next generation want to make their money. And if you keep inflating, 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 you'll end up like Zimbabwe where you got about 17 zeros on a note that you used to buy a slice of bread. So every decade or so they have to wipe out all of this nonsense that they've made up. This is what it's about. It's the boom and bust cycle. Every 10 years they have to wipe a load off the stock market. Because if they don't, the whole thing will crash.
So essentially what I'm hearing you say, it's like playing Monopoly with my older brother.
But at the end of the game, all the money goes back into the box. And you start again.
Yeah, my older brother always wins. And if you decide to take a nature break and not pay attention when you come back, my older brother will have motels on all of his properties. And some of your properties as well, plus a lot more money.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing.
You know, what you're talking about happened in the late 1980s in Mexico. Their money the exchange rate was 7,000 pesos to a dollar. And they did exactly that. They just wiped out the money and started printing new money. And they printed it equal. One peso was equal to a dollar. But now, all of a sudden, it's 14 pesos to the dollar. Not all of a sudden, over the period of time of roughly 25 years.
Well, look at Yugoslavia before it collapsed. They got to such a bad state with their economy, they started using the German Deutschmark. When you are a national sovereign country and you're using somebody else's currency, you're kind of in stressful circumstances. And the question I have to ask people, did they not learn from Yugoslavia? Because now, there's something like 26 countries in Europe using somebody else's currency.
I think it was China, just before the Second World War, the rate was something like 5,000 or 6,000 yen to the dollar. If you want to buy a loaf of bread and you want to pay for it with paper money, the yen, I mean, it was a cube roughly 18 inches long, about 12 inches wide, and 12 to 14 inches high. And that was all money. That was about one loaf of bread.
Well, other players in the game.
Pounds.
Other players in the game.
U.S. dollars.
Other players in the game who are in the know of what the corruption's going on will gladly keep secret of what certain things are happening, which is prime example. When my older brother is the banker when we're playing Monopoly and he always wins, if I take the nature break that I talked about and I come back, it seems that my little brother had profited it as well, and that he has $500 bills falling out of his sleeve under the table. So my older brother, who's the banker, is bribing my younger brother for his silence, and my younger brother has got houses on his properties and motels on my older brother's. And so essentially the guy at the bottom down there, I'm still down there with no houses on my property and I'm broke.
You got one of three choices here. Don't take a nature break. Keep your eyes open. Or cheat as well. Or just don't play with them anymore.
Well, that's the whole thing. All right? Because, look, this is the society we find ourselves living in. It's exact same scenario. You can't trust the bankers. You can't trust the other individuals out there to keep an eye on the bankers. You want to talk about corruption from top to bottom, it seems like everybody's out to get theirs, and that's that, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, think of it this way. If you were to walk to your, go down to a mafia bookmaker, and you said, right, that sports game on next week, I haven't got any money, but I want 100-to-1 odds that a donkey's going to fall on the pitch and have an epileptic fit in the middle of the final and they're going to lose by 15 points. And I want to put about $1 billion down on that, even though I don't have any money. But I also want to take out an insurance on it, so if an epileptic donkey doesn't fall in the middle of the pitch, in the middle of the final, and then whichever team loses the game, I still want to cover my bet. But I don't have any money for the insurance either. And that's basically what I'm doing. It's all based on reputation and IOUs, and there is no money changing hands anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, the banks got the bailout, plus they got to keep the properties, and they got to foreclose on them, and the average Joe got the shaft, so to speak. So, the system...
Is a question we all need to ask ourselves. When we next think about them trying to build a global government, which is, it's kind of getting to the state where it's too obvious now. I mean, you've got to be pretty dumb or pretty blind not to see that they're trying to configure everything on a global scale. Who funded the Nazi war machine? Or rather, where did they get their money from?
Right.
Well, there's the history that's swept up underneath the rug. Nobody knows what really went down, because just like with JFK, you know, when the assassination of JFK occurred, there was questions about, you know, did this guy do it or these three guys do it? Did it come from the grassy knoll or the book suppository or whatever? Did I say suppository? Well, it probably is. But anyway, where did it come from? And even when somebody has a plausible scenario that shows all the facts, that you're left at the end of the whole deal with doubts. And so you have those out there who believe it was a conspiracy and those who don't believe. Did we or did we go to the moon or whatever, you know? Isn't there a government, one world government conspiracy or whatever? This is the tool that they use the most, is that to be able to put a seed of doubt in your mind to make you believe that you are questioning your own belief on the whole deal. You see what I mean?
Shaziz, do you know what the difference between the repository and the suppository is?
Yeah, I know the difference.
Well, one's the IRS, the other one's the DSS. Or the DHS.
Yeah.
Because one takes from you and one gives it to you.
Either way, we're just needing to be really super cautious about what we believe and see out here, because... Well, I talk about just this conversation alone gives me a headache.
You really? I'm sitting here looking for my BC headache powders.
Yeah.
I mean, for real.
Shaziz, I wish you'd really read the chat, because there was quite an urgent message I put in there half an hour ago.
Well, I would have been able to read the chat had my chat room would have stayed running long enough.
In Skype.
Oh, and Skype. Oh, yeah. Well, the one I can't repeat.
But it's kind of urgent, mate. I mean, I can leave you to it.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, just let's basically try to take a music break here. Man, I just don't know. I'm just going to throw something in. So throw something to the wind and see if it... if it works out all right. But folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and I apologize for all the starts and stops, but maybe somebody don't want to say what we're saying. All right, stay tuned.
Well.
Stopping at the lower cafe. his days. I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. It's fare thee well, my home lover. I never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that Northern Railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunny Valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Hey, hey, King Shazam the Turbo.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Apologize about all the disruptions, and hopefully once I do the actual podcast of the deal and mix and match and put it all back together, maybe you'll get a decent smooth podcast to listen to later. Anyway, I wanted to address a comment that was put up there in the chat room over there on shazizradio.com/superchat.html, where you can go and say your piece and all that kind of stuff and visit with some folks. Stone Lee types up in there, somewhat naive to believe this civilization won't disappear as all of them before ours did. So, essentially, I don't know whether or not there were prior civilizations or whether there is or isn't, whatever. All I know is that if there was prior civilizations to us that, got as advanced as, we've gotten so far, or maybe even farther along, they obviously did not learn from history and basically repeated the same doggone mistakes. A question would be that would it have been possible that there were people just like myself and Raymond and Steve and others out there? Was there a version of the Knights of the Round Table back during their civilization where everybody's essentially trying to shout out common sense, pointing out the fact that we're getting ready to go off the cliff and humanity is getting ready to take a nosedive in the dirt? And if that was the case, if that was, hold on a second, if that was the case, then where? How long is it going to take? How many times are we going to have to repeat history before humanity becomes enlightened enough to understand that all the mistakes that we made prior are we're going to keep on repeating them? And the fact that the elite throughout the entire process have pretty much stayed in power one generation to the next, and these are the folks that are running the train, so to speak. What was you saying, Steve?
Well, I was just about to say, I mean, these people have stayed in power for generations, centuries, if not millennia, and they laugh at rednecks for marrying their cousins.
Well, and there's the problem. Why is it that every single time something like a mass crash happens, that those in know end up still being as rich as they were to start with? I mean, after all, they're the ones that were running the financial system, and when it collapsed, they came out of the other side smelling like a rose, where your average Joe's the only one paying astronomical prices for products that they need to survive. So,
well, you know, when you're living in a corrupt country, when the Prime Minister, the Taoiseach, the President, whoever's supposed to be the big, you know, big head honcho of your nation, after they have an austerity budget, he comes out with it with more money than when he went into it.
Well, and that's what the banks did during the last bank bailout over here.
Forget the banks. I mean, the banks are the people that are lobbying governments. But when the politicians themselves take away medical cards from Down syndrome children with serious learning difficulties and serious illnesses as well in certain cases, and say, well, we can't give you free medical care anymore, but I'm going to earn €45,000 more after the budget than before it.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that there's companies out there that actually go out there and lobby the supposed representatives and say, hey, you know, when you get done with this job right here, we got a good spot for you over here. You know, vote our way and, you know, we'll help you out, you know. That it all boils down to the same doggone thing. You know, if there were people in prior societies that were trying to warn everybody about future coming events based on past history, that they had seen how things went down, then nobody's paying attention, because if it's happened multiple times in the history of civilization, then nobody has become enlightened enough to be able to explain to everybody that we got to take this down a different road, and we got to get these folks that are in charge out of charge, because they're the ones that keep causing it. You see what I'm saying? Nobody?
You're looking... I'm sorry, man.
I have a microphone. Yes, I do agree with you completely.
Well, if you're looking for renewable energy, it must be the enthusiasm of these people that keep making the same mistakes over and over again and profiting from it.
Well, they say the definition of insanity is repeating the same action over and over and expecting a different result. Well, that's pretty much what we see going on there. But I, for one, yeah, you know...
They're not insane, Shaziz, because they keep repeating the same actions and they're kind of praying and hoping on getting the same result.
Well, yeah, seems like the same result is good, because, you know, somebody once said that war is a good way out of a depression. You know, you get the economy stimulated, because now everybody's got to build war machines, you know. But how long are we going to keep on letting this happen? How long are we going to keep on allowing our children to go across to other nations and you know, fight other nations? How long is that going to... Wasn't that the whole purpose of the United Nations... supposedly to begin with, to bring about peace on the world, but what have they accomplished? You know, nothing. They haven't accomplished anything.
Well, Shaziz, have not the United Nations failed to stop 69 wars since its creation?
Well, they probably started all those 69 wars.
Yeah, but I mean, the Federal Reserve was created to stop recessions. How many recessions have we had since the Federal Reserve took over?
Yeah, quite a few. So that's why I keep saying...
And they're not supposed to be the people that are in place to make sure it doesn't happen, not profit off the back of it.
Judge a man by his actions, not by his words. Now, these individuals will go out there and they got all the fancy words to get you to follow their lead, and then when they keep on repeating the same doggone things over and over, and you're the one suffering about it, and you keep going back for more. You know, that's the whole thing. They talk about all this gun control kind of stuff, and we can get into all the numbers of how many people died on a pogo stick or in the hospital or falling off a chair or whatever, or slipping in the bathtub, but it's neither here nor there. It's the same doggone thing over and over and over again, when in reality, they don't care about gun control. They don't care whether you're out there killing each other. As long as they're getting the money for the bullet and the gun, they don't care. So all these folks out here who are preaching gun control and more strength legislation, you're fooling yourself. Because even if they get rid of the guns, you know, what's next? Okay, you're going to have rocks, you're going to have knives. One lady from, I think it was Ireland, or no, Australia was talking about that they just get beat up, you know. They don't get shot. They just get beat up and stabbed. So, you know, it don't matter, because guess what? Those same individuals will be selling you the doggone knife. And if they got a way to do it, they'll charge you for the rock you picked up. So it's a money-making adventure for them. Yeah.
There was some mad old woman in America running around the place, screaming her head off, saying, "We need gun control, we need gun control." And one guy walked up to her and they said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you can have my guns when you disarm your 5 security guards
yeah.
carrying theirs."
Yeah, that's the thing. The elite ain't going to turn down theirs. I mean, the military got to have theirs, the police got to have theirs, but then the police will tell you...
Never mind about the military. This is a woman that goes out to incite and inflame society, and is surrounded by people with guns to protect her, who's telling everybody else they have to give theirs up.
Yeah.
So for some reason, her life is more valuable than the rest of theirs, because she can have armed protection, but you cannot protect yourself.
Well, that's the point I was trying to make, because the police will tell you that it could be anywhere from 15, 20 minutes to an hour before they could ever get to you. So by that time, burglar already done shot you and made off with your VCR or whatever, you know? So, you know, common sense dictates the gun control is only going to work for the criminal. But these guys out there that keep preaching this stuff, they don't, what the average Joe don't understand is they're making money regardless of whether there's no guns or there isn't any guns, the more conflicts they got, the more money they make. I mean, these guys are making a killing just on telling you about people that got robbed and mugged and beat up. They got advertisers. Go try to get a commercial on any major news network. And try to get a commercial, like, let's say, during the Super Bowl or Dancing with the Stars, and see how much you're going to spend for 30 seconds of information that you put out there. All right? These guys are making money.
And they actually offered me quite a lot of money not to advertise Simply Steve Stars and Stripes Mankini during the Super Bowl.
Well, I bet.
They actually paid me not to.
They probably had a lot of lawsuits. There's a doggone deal there that, you know, if you put somebody's eye out, there might be some litigation going on in there. They don't want that liability.
Well, the closer I get to an Indian doctor lubricating his thumb to check my health, which is sort of tearing up because I'm heading towards 50 now, the more I'm in the same camp as Bill Hicks, where it's just a ride.
Oh, man.
If there is a gun,
I want to upload this podcast, man.
Hey, look, that's kind of tame. That's kind of tame. If it's not in your mind, you've nothing to worry about. If it's your mind, then it's not my fault.
Yeah, well, I got to understand it's your frustration, because I'm frustrated myself.
The point I'm trying to make is you can either stress yourself out about it and make yourself ill, or you can gain some practical skills and just go with the flow.
Yeah, I'm saying,
find out how to make solar panels, find out how to make batteries, find out how to hook up an alternative system to your house supply, because trying to retrofit an entire house that works on an alternative energy system overnight is not going to happen. But if you can plug yourself in a generator, if you can do this, if you can do that, it's a degree, a master's, a PhD in philosophy is all good and well, but it's not going to stop some thug kicking your door in and taking all your food.
That's right. We need to start steering our friends in the right direction, to really paying attention to what they're seeing out there. You know, somebody said, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. It's in the song. But, you know, as you're weeding your way through this deal we call life, and you're trying to find alternative energy deals, use some common sense and find the individuals out there who aren't trying to sell you something. Everybody's trying to sell you something. If they're doing it for the right reasons, and, you know, if it's alternative energy, we've got every single thing we need to literally create the perfect generator. I've said this a million times on the Mad Science Show, but, you know, people have to take you serious before they'll do anything about it. And as far as the mainstream media and mainstream medicines and science and stuff like that, follow the agenda, follow the money. Who's paying them to say or do what they're doing? And does what the information that they're presenting to you make any sense? And if you question it, if you ask them a question and they get upset because you ask them a question and try to ridicule you, is that where you want to be getting your information in the future, is what I'm trying to say. Does that make any sense to anybody but me?
If you ask a question of somebody and they start shouting and they start hollering and they start demanding answers, just laugh at them and walk away. Because every time you participate with them, then they're earning their money. It's called manufacturing doubt. You don't have to prove somebody's right. You don't have to prove somebody's wrong. You just have to instill doubt.
That's it. It's as simple as that. A lot of wars were started because somebody instilled doubt, you know. And even the old Hatfield and McCoys, you know, after they got to fighting for generations, a couple of the younger ones stood back and asked him, does anybody know what this feud started over? Nobody knows. But the Jerry Springers of the world, the folks out there that are actually running the scenes, behind the scenes, paying people, bribing judges, and getting everybody to think that the ends justify the means. So if you jump on the bandwagon with us, we'll save the population, we'll save the planet, and we'll get this whole thing all situated. But in the process of them trying to save the planet, you got guys out there like Bill Gates talking about, if we do a good job with vaccines, we can depopulate the planet. He said that, man. He really said that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill Gates, if you think we should have a one-child policy, why don't you take one of the guns or get one of your security guards to take their guns and shoot a couple of your kids in the head? And then you can lead by example.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They're not offering themselves up for the betterment of humanity. And if you're making money off of war, why, boy, you want all the war you got. Jerry Springer is a prime example.
I'm not promoting murder of children, but when somebody's talking about putting genetically modified vaccines into mosquitoes and then releasing them on the general public, it kind of smacks of Tuskegee, where they deliberately infected black airmen with syphilis just to see what it would do. Well, they released a cloud of nuclear radiation over their own country.
In the civilian world, a person would be charged with conspiracy to commit genocide, you know? But in that realm of the deal, it's the ends justify the means kind of thing. It's,
well, I mean, Bill Gates is the ultimate in hypocrisy. He's put out an article a few years back called "The Case for Killing Granny."
Yeah.
Well, if Grandma doesn't get her cataracts removed, then we can employ 10 more teachers. Bill, haven't you got $50 billion in a trust fund that you can live off the interest of?
Yes, he's.
And then you're using same trust fund to come up with these mad ideas about putting genetically modified vaccines into mosquitoes to infect all of us against our will.
Jerry Springer figured out that he could turn around and he could manipulate society to make himself a lot of money. He could go out there behind the scenes and instigate a fight and bring these two people together that, you know, are obviously going to have a dispute, and then bring it live on camera and make a lot of money. That show was pretty famous. Everybody knows about the Jerry Springer show. Well, that's the same exact thing that's going on behind the scenes of the government. You know, you want to destabilize a foreign power. Well, how do you do it? You go behind the scenes. You stir the pot. You get them all mad at each other.
Well, did you see the episode where he had a white supremacist, a racist, that didn't like Jews on?
Well,
and he said, "Yeah, I've got a lampshade in the boot of my car. I think it's your uncle."
Jeez. I tell you.
Well, he wasn't too happy then. I mean, that's one of the very few times Jerry Springer has ever attacked one of his guests instead of his guests attacking each other and big old baldy Steve coming in and breaking him up when they're getting rowdy.
But the whole...
The
whole thing is, if you're willing to buy what they're selling just because it seems amusing, then you got to expect the world to be the way it is. That's it. It's as simple as that. We're not going to get this world to be a better way until we decide to start, if we're going to be spending our monopoly money, at least send it to a direction that we believe that they're not trying to harm somebody. That's, you know, how much more plainer can you put it than that? You know, if you know that in Mexico there's factories that are polluting the rivers and mistreating the people and paying them terrible wages, and you're still going to buy the product just because it's cheaper and convenient, then essentially you're helping them out. You know, it makes as much sense to save the trees with a wooden sign and a paper deal that says "Save the Trees."
Well, in fairness, is there's lots of Western countries that their big hotels, their bars, their, you know, their entertainment districts, where you've got a load of bars and restaurants where people use public facilities. So, you know, a couple of years ago, in a lot of countries in Europe, where they weren't flushing it straight out into the river, out into the sea.
Well, where were they flushing it? Down into the neighbor's yard, or?
No, literally straight into the river. When I lived in County Cork in Ireland, Cork City were flushing most of their sewage directly into the River Lee. And at low tide, you could see all the bits of tissue paper and various different sanitary products coming out of a pipe when the water was at low tide. Well, 'cause it's a tidal river.
I believe it was Chinhae, Korea, back in 84. There was a specific bay that they didn't actually have piers. You just kind of park off the side, and then they had a little dock that you'd take a dinghy and ride in and go in and visit the people in town or whatever. But they said that if you fell in that water, you'd be down there getting every shot under the sun, because essentially that was their septic tank.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Lord Mayor of Cork, a few years back, said, by 2018, everybody will be out of swim in the river. And somebody pointed out, but haven't you got 5 years left, which means that you're going to be out of office 2 years before your claim? Are you going to be the first one to go for a swim?
Yeah, we gotta hold them to that. Whenever they get up out of office, say, hey, you remember what you said? It's time to put up, you know?
Put up or shut up, yeah.
Yeah, you're either going to collect or you're not, you know. The whole thing is, why does it say my Skype has been held remotely? Are you guys still there? Okay, well, I don't know what's going on with that, but that's weird. My Skype just came up with a deal that says held remotely. So somebody from outside of my Skype has just paused my Skype. So, now I have to figure out what that's all about. But, anyway, there you go. That's you don't talk about certain things out there. Otherwise, you are a conspiracy nut. If you see something blatantly obvious on TV that seems to be, to you, not real, or bogus, or the facts just don't add up, and decide to speak out against it, then you're going to be a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nut. Some individuals want you to not be able to talk to each other, and some individuals want to just try to manipulate your mind. You know, tell you what you have to believe. The indoctrination in the school systems, the propaganda through the mainstream media, the propaganda through the government agencies out there, It's all basically goes back to the same doggone deal. It's a military-industrial complex out there that are making millions and millions, if not trillions of dollars, manipulating society to the extent that you believe what you're told or else. That's just that. Now, the only way that I figure that anybody in this world is ever going to get anything accomplished towards making this better world, this place a better world to live in for us and our children and our children's children, is if we, the people, start spreading the truthful knowledge instead of all the shenanigans that go out there. So you're going to have to be real careful about what you hear. You're going to have to be real careful about what you believe, because we're living in some crazy times. I got my Skype right here. It says, held remotely. I didn't put it on pause, but it still says, held remotely. Somebody tell me what that's all about. Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and it's been one heck of a time trying just to keep the show up and running, you know. Regardless of whether I'm broadcasting live right now, I'm just going to continue the show for the last 15-20 minutes and record it and put the podcast up. And if you like the podcast and want to replay it to somebody else so that everybody else gets the benefit of what we've been talking about, you know, the whole point of this show wasn't to point out that the whole world is all terrible and that's it. That's that. It's not about fear-mongering. It's about paying attention to what's going on out there in this world. Because there are definitely entities behind the scenes that are trying to manipulate your mind. They're trying to get you convinced that you either need to live in fear, you either need to turn in your rights for freedom, and so on and so forth. You know, do what you're told. Know your place and shut your face is essentially what you're being told. Now, I'm just saying to you guys out there, I played that podcast and you heard that was coming from the mainstream media. If the mainstream media is out there telling you that there is governments getting out of control, that all these powers shouldn't be going to the presidency, then that ought to be a red flag. That ought to be something to concern all individuals from all nations, because one dictator is with the finger on the red button, so to speak, is a dangerous thing for all of humanity. You know, if you're the king of the free world, the supposed most powerful superpower in the world, and you have access to all this destructive power, who's going to stop you? Well, the attempt would be made by either side out there, other nations out there with similar power structures. And what's going to happen from there? Now we're talking about the whole World War III. And so, you know, hey, I don't know what to say other than you got to pay attention. You got to be on the alert. You got to be on your toes. You got to figure out a way to basically know the knowledge you're getting. Verify, you know, that's it. Verify it. And so I'm going to try to reset this call and see what's going on there. Maybe Raymond hit the button. Let's try this right here. Do-do-do-do-do. I clicked on join the call. Let's try this again. Held remotely. Alright, well, somebody got to get a message to Raymond to unhold it remotely. He hit the wrong button. So, let me try this here. I'll go down here. Do-do-do-do. I'll call this individual. Ring, ring. See that? See how this works, man? You get to the point where you're talking about conspiracies and you try to figure out what the tarnation is going on, and it turns out that one of the people in your own call has you on hold remotely. But that's how it works, man. That's how it works. Put the seed of doubt in somebody's mind. You have all these different deals that could very well be coincidental, but yet, yeah, you have so much doubt in your mind because of all the corruption and craziness going on, it's hard to weed your way through what's true and what ain't. You see what I mean, Steve?
Yeah, I kind of get you.
And I don't want to be one of those guys that runs around, conspiratorial, hiding behind the bush and peeking around the corner to see who's apt to get me, but this is what I'm being told every day. I'm being told every single day by the alternative media that somebody's apt to get me, right? Somebody's apt to get my family. Somebody's apt to get my freedom. And that's why I'm trying to talk to people today to tell them, look, you know, there may be somebody out there trying to get your freedom. There may be somebody out there trying to get your family. But until you got the facts straight, don't panic. Breathe. Pay attention. Verify everything. You got to be cautious about what you're hearing because you never know what in tarnation is the truth. Am I wrong?
Well, this is where it comes to about personal assessment of what information is relevant to you and what you intend to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we live off. We live off information. Human beings seem to love input. Because that's how we learn, that's how we move forwards. We get an input of data through a wide range of senses, and we analyse that data and make decisions based upon it. And it seems that there's a very small group of people that are very effective at manipulating that data to perhaps elicit certain types of thought patterns.
Well, I don't mind input as long as it's truthful input, because since by my nature I'm a loving individual, I don't want to see nobody get hurt. And if all I'm hearing is that doom and gloom and the world's coming to an end and all this kind of stuff, run, hide, bunker in and all that, you know, then I'm absorbing that like a sponge, and so I got to be really careful about what I listen to, you know.
Well, I mean, I've been watching people wander around the streets in the US, in Europe, in even Asia, with signs saying the end of the world is nigh. But when I ask them what nigh means, they never seem to know.
Yeah, it sounds good, don't it?
Right, it's kind of old school and, you know, biblical maybe, but what it comes down to is, what are you going to do with the input and information that you receive?
There's a lady out there named Lisa Haven.
Are you going to act violently, are you going to act peacefully, or are you just going to carry on about your business? And the day somebody turns up basically demanding that you hand over their kids so they can put up on the bus and send them somewhere where you're not, well, maybe should have paid more attention.
Yeah, there's a lady out there named Lisa Haven that does a YouTube channel out there, kind of informational, spiritual kind of deal. But she has a deal right there at the beginning and says, what will you believe? You know, and that's kind of a big question right there. What will you believe? What will the general public believe? And as far as I see so far, the general public is pretty doggone gullible when it comes to believing what the mainstream media is spewing out. Even when they're proven to lie, you know?
On Valentine's Day in 2014, I set up a jokes Twitter account under the name Ivor Biggin. I've got 12 followers, and I've never made one tweet.
Well, they're probably waiting around for you to say the most profound or profane thing that possible so that they can retweet it.
Well, I like to mix the two if possible.
You've got 12 people on hold right now. Maybe you should revisit the account.
Oh, no, I deleted everybody apart from the guy that wrote a book on mushroom science. Because I'm kind of into my horticulture anyway, so it might be interesting, but
yeah. Ah, man, I tell you what, you want to talk about a headache, I got a screaming headache. This whole thing just drives me nuts. I don't know when Doomsday is showing up. I don't know when the government's going to get out of control. I don't know whether they plan on taking us all to FEMA camps or chopping our heads off. I don't know when the governments of the world are going to take us to World War III. I don't know when or if the doggone people are going to have a civil war. What I do know is that I'm just trying to survive in this world. I'm trying to put out some positive information. I'm trying to show the people some common sense and basic science and alternative energy so that they can understand that a lot of what they're being told out there isn't real science. A lot of what they're told is just bogus for a purpose. If you are going to complain about climate change, then support the individuals out there who are working towards a solution for climate change. If you're going to want to save the trees, then instead of chopping down a tree and making a stick to do so, to put your paper sign on, then maybe you might want to be out there planting trees. It's a proactive instead of a reactive kind of whatever, I don't know. It's just, see, there we go again. Now that doggone thing is driving me insane. Anyway, it says we're still going out, but look, folks, this is the thing. Common sense gets you. Common sense gets you kicked to the curb. So I'm still talking. Anyway, we're down to the last 10 minutes of the show, and my internet is just now blanking, so Steve should be coming back on here in just a brief second if he picks up. It's nuts, because my Sam is saying connecting, and one says encoding, and the other says error, and yeah, there we go. So, either way, I'll let that ring out. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, what you can get of it, and I will basically cut and splice this entire podcast until I get the entire podcast together, which, give or take, whatever. It's going to be an interesting show regardless. You played some information out there of what they were actually saying on the mainstream media. I pointed out the fact that these individuals from the mainstream media were literally telling you that there's conspiracies going on out there, while out the other side of their neck saying that there ain't no conspiracy, that you're a nut for pointing out the reality of the deal. Let me try to call Steve again. This is crazy. So, here we go again. Honest Abe's used car salesman. Honest Abe's used ISP. One heck of a messy show. Alrighty then. Alright, well, some folks don't want you to say certain things. So, don't say certain things. Otherwise, your internet will go down. And if it's not a conspiracy and it's just the other guy on the other side of Skype got the deal on pause remotely, then that's that. It says encoding resumed. Stream is connecting to server. What a mess. Alright, well, that's that. Alright, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Now I gotta sit over here and find this and that and these and to do to do do. Alright, let's try this.
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry! What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table, three dots where we're able. We do routines, to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.